Today on The Journey.
What a gift God has given to us. What a tremendous gift. Planned for us with no shame in the context of marriage. Why would we want to do it any other way but God's way?
Imagine for a moment you look out on your driveway and there sits a brand new gleaming Lexus. It sports a big red bow and a gift card with your name on it. How would you treat it? Better yet, how carefully would you drive it? Well, today, Ron Moore continues his series on biblical sexuality with a look at an even greater gift, one provided you by the Creator, one that most people would give up a Lexus to keep, the gift of sex. Just ahead are care and maintenance instructions that will keep your gift shining for the rest of your life. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet, Created for Oneness. It offers a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. This is a must-have resource in our post-Christian culture. You can get your copy by calling 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of the message, God's Idea, the Gift. On the Journey.
We are considering biblical sexuality from the biblical framework of creation, the fall, and redemption. All of Scripture moves through these three parts. So take your Bibles and let's start with Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1, we've been given the overview of all creation. And beginning in Genesis chapter 2, God zeroes in on His creation of human beings, of Adam and Eve. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. See, when you begin to deal with sex in the Bible instead of sex and the city, we have to begin with God creating the human body. And here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we are told that God Himself, in a very personal and a very intimate way, stooped down and scooped up dust from the ground, and He formed the physical body. He is the designer of the physical body and every part of it. The word formed is the Hebrew word yatzah, and it means to shape or fashion. When it's used in the participle form, it means one who fashions. It gives the picture of a potter working with clay. As a potter takes the clay and forms it into the exact product that he wants it to be. So God takes the clay and He forms the body, every bit of it, into the exact product that He wants it to be. And all through Scripture, this beautiful picture of a potter with clay is used to demonstrate God's hands-on intimacy as He formed the body and as He deals with us. As Isaiah chapter 64, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of Your hand. Your body is special. It is designed by God Himself. Treat it as the gift it is. Our first point would be this. The human body is a gift of God designed to honor Him in all its expressions, including sexuality. His design, His invention, His forming of you honor Him with this gift. Now, look again at chapter 2, verse 7. After God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He stooped down again, and into this lifeless body, He breathed into it the breath of life. He breathed soul into this body. And now this body that was lifeless comes to life and lives. Now, the word form not only means fashion, like a potter with clay, but it also means plan. He has a plan for it. It's not just happenstance. We're not here because of some evolutionary process. God created us for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. We have, every one of us, not only a different fingerprint, but a unique plan for the days of our life. Psalm 139, beautiful words. Listen to these. For you, speaking to God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Listen to this. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God not only fashions and forms every part of the human body from the inside out, but He gives it a plan and purpose as well. Look at verse 21. Let's just look at God creating another body, because He created Adam, but He's not through creating bodies. There's another type of body He needs to create. The Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, He took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib He had taken out of the man, and He brought her to the man. And it's important to note there, God did not go back to the dust to create Eve. He took from what He had already created in man. He didn't create a new species or another type of species. So when He took from man everything He had invested in Adam, He now invests in Eve as well, this woman, this different type of body. The Lord God made a woman from the rib. The word made is the Hebrew word bana. It means to build or structure. God built the woman's body according to His design. Different parts. Gift from Him. One writer says it this way. Bodies are not simply pieces of furniture to decorate or display. They are not trappings about which we have conflicted feelings. They are not objects to be dieted away, made to conform to popular standards, or made to perform unthinkable athletic feats with the help of drugs. They are neither tools for scoring points nor burdens to be overcome. Your body is a special gift from God. You are to protect it. You are to keep it healthy. You are never to abuse it. You are never to cut it. You are never to drug it. You are never to kill it. It is a special gift from God. And you should use that gift the way God intended it to be used. And sexually, that is always in the context of marriage. Used in any other context besides marriage. You are not going with God's plan. You are not living according to His design. You are having a second-rate experience. And you're misusing the body God has given you. Now, we talked about creation, but there's also the fall. And when sin entered the human body, the body came under a curse. And so now God said, you're going to work the field, Adam, but you're going to sweat, and you're going to toil, and you're going to labor, and your body's going to get tired. You're going to have children, Eve, but there's going to be pain in childbirth. And the body is going to die. It is going to begin to go through a decaying process. And it's going to die. Body gets old. Last week, after the second service, I'm walking down the hall, and a little kid about this tall came up and grabbed my legs and gave me a big hug. And I thought that was really nice. Then he walked away and he said, he looks just like Grandpa. We're getting old, all of us. We're beginning to look like Grandpa. And even in the fallen state, God gives us particular instruction. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality. All other sins man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body, the body God has given you. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been redeemed, Christian. You have been bought with a price. Jesus gave his own body. It bled and it died. He suffered pain in his body for you. You have been bought with a price. Now honor God with your body. You see, the sexual experience is not just sex. It's not just a physical act outside the body. The physical act of sex puts you at one with another person. And if not your spouse, you're headed for trouble. You're headed for a crash. That's not the design God has for you. Not the plan. All other sins outside the body, but not the sexual sin, come one with the person. And so your body makes a promise, whether you do or not. And if you want to play the game not God's way, you are heading for a crash. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18. The body is a great gift of God. Now let's look how these two bodies come together. God has created everything. And in Genesis chapter 2, 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be what? Alone. Perfect creation. Adam had everything, had direct communication with God, but still there was something missing in his soul. It's not good for the man to be alone. God says, I'm going to make a helper suitable for you. Now, it's interesting, the word helper there is normally a word used of God in Scripture. So it is in no way a derogatory or second-class term. I'm going to make a helper suitable for you. The word means to correspond to you, or better, one who completes the man. God is in effect saying the man was created as a part, and now I'm going to make the other part so the whole can be experienced. Second point is this, man and woman are designed by God to complete each other. The completion is powerfully illustrated and powerfully experienced in sexual intimacy. So it's not good for the man to be alone. Look at verse 22. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Look at the end of that verse. What happened? God himself brought her to the man. Just freeze that thought. God himself, having designed the man and the woman, having designed and formed, perfectly formed, these two people, male and female, God himself is the one who brings them together. In creation, it is God who brings them together. And Adam is very pleased with what he sees. Standing before him is a perfect 10 created by God himself. No other choices. No baggage. No potential in-law problems. No visiting relatives in Kansas. This is a perfect situation. And Adam says, Isha! That's what he says. Look at verse 23. He says, this is now bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha, woman. She shall be called Isha, for she was taken out of Ish, man. Isha. Every man and woman at some point have an Ish and Isha moment, don't they? Isha. For me, that moment came when I was in college and I was in a car with Lori's brother. We were going back to Lori's house. We were going through the driveway over a little bridge, and then her house sat back in there. And when we came to her house, I saw Lori out mowing the grass. And I said, Isha. Isha. pushing a lawnmower, if she looks that good pushing a lawnmower on a hot Oklahoma day, this is going to be good. Esha. And all of us have had Esha moments, husband and wife. I thought about this. Lori said, you know, you're doing the sexual series, you be really careful with the personal stories you tell. So pray for me, all right? Look at verse 25. The man and the woman were both naked and felt no shame. They stood before each other naked, uncovered, and there was no fear of exploitation. There was complete vulnerability. God had designed them and he had formed them to complete each other, and he introduced them together completely naked, and there was no shame. And even after Genesis 3, when sin comes in and Adam and Eve cover themselves, that's the first thing they do, cover themselves, still in the act of sexuality. It is an act of nakedness. And when you do it God's way, there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no regret. There's no fear. And here's why. Look at verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, think about what's happening here. Moses is writing the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. God is revealing it to him. But what Moses does right here is he breaks from the historical story and explains a contemporary event. He says, for this reason, he is breaking from the historical account, and he's saying, here's the contemporary thing that we do. It's called marriage. A man leaves his father and mother. There is a time in his life when he has that Esha moment, and his heart leaves everything he has known and turns toward the woman, and a woman the same for the man. They leave their parents, and they are joined with one another. They stand before loved ones, a church, a group of people, and they publicly proclaim their love for one another. They publicly proclaim that whatever happens in this life, whether it's good or bad, I will love you and I will be with you until I die. And then, and only after those two things, what happens? The one flesh relationship. They come together as one, emotionally and spiritually, but you cannot miss the physical oneness in Genesis 2:24. They come together completing one another, satisfying each other. Their bodies coming together to create a oneness. There's a time when you cannot tell where one body stops and the other begins. There is a oneness in this act that God has created. Here's my last point. Biblical sexuality between a man and a woman is designed and ordained by God, reserved for husband and wife to complete each other and physically confirm over and over and over again their marriage commitment. See, the math of sex God's way is 1 + 1 = 1. What a gift God has given to us. What a tremendous gift. Planned for us with no shame in the context of marriage. Why would we want to do it any other way but God's way? Let me close with this illustration. In a book written many years ago, Josh McDowell talks about the powerful nature of sex for good or bad. And he sets this little story up. Husband and wife is fixing a meal, and they have gone off in the family room to let the rest of the casserole cook or whatever's in the oven. And they leave out a knife on the table, and a little 2-year-old toddles in the room and he picks up this razor sharp butcher knife. And he's holding it in his hands, and he walks out into the living room. What would you do? They know if they jump up quickly or yell or scream, he's going to jerk. He could stab himself. More likely, he's going to grab onto the knife and his little fingers will be severed. So what do? Very tenderly and gently talk to him prayerfully and explain to him in two-year-old terms that he needs to just let go of the knife and give it to daddy or give it to mommy. And when he's let go, now he's safe. Sexuality, McDowell goes on to say, is like a razor-sharp knife. It has the power to build. It has the power to complete. It has the power to bring children into the world. It has a power for loving homes. But it also has power, doesn't it? To cut deep and leave scars. So here's the great gift. And the choice is ours. God's way or our way. Beautiful gift, design, enjoyment, satisfaction, fulfillment, or crash.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Do you remember the traditional standard in marriage and family? It used to be a man and a woman marrying, having a family, and for better or worse, joined as one as long as they both should live. Today, that standard is in tatters. In the United States, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Many couples in our country have concluded that living together before matrimony makes good sense. And Americans are deeply divided over the issue of same-sex marriage. Not surprisingly, those conflicts are challenging Christian belief. So in order to contend for biblical marriage, we first must understand what the Bible has to say about it. Only when its truth is fully grasped will we have the confidence to pass it on to our children and grandchildren. To help you with that, Ron Moore has written the booklet, Created for Oneness. It offers a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. We'll send it to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
We are going to look at not just one of the great love songs of all time, but we're going to look at the greatest love song ever written. It's recorded in the Old Testament, and it is called the Song of Songs, or the greatest song. It's a song about God's gift of sexual intimacy between a man and a woman in the context of marriage. And this inspired book of God pulls no punches regarding sex, but it is in no way crude or vulgar. Instead, through exquisite poetry, it describes this beautiful gift of God. Now, this book is written by Solomon. And granted, Solomon, with his many wives and concubines, does not qualify him to be the best example of love and marriage. However, God uses this man to teach us what love is.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, please remember to get your copy of Ron's booklet, which shares a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. It's titled Created for Oneness, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org, BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.